All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, July 12th of 2025. Looking ahead to the weekend, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you. If you guys aren't signed up with us and want to check us out, I always recommend starting on the weekend. You can get the five-day free trial. It takes you through the weekend sports and then into the middle of the week. But for today, we have a 12-fight MMA card. We have an 11-game MLB main slate getting underway in about an hour here, so we'll definitely talk some MLB. We have some WNBA action tomorrow with a 4-game main slate there. And then we do have golf continuing over the weekend. We have Xfinity today for NASCAR, and then I believe Cup Race tomorrow. So plenty of DFS to play, plenty of DFS to talk about. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show here on Saturdays, typically at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. I did move the show up half an hour just because I didn't want to be right up against MLB lock. Wanted people to be able to get their questions asked, answered, and then still give them some time to use that information and get their lineups in. So that's why the show is a little bit earlier today. Appreciate you guys accommodating it. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up and we will jump into questions. So first question today, is it possible to backtest the portfolio feature on contests completed, say a month or so ago, without having to run new builds? So I'm almost positive the answer is no. The reason for that is, like, when you open up a new build, you're going to see like this icon. It's like the it looks like a wrench and a hammer. Maybe I can't tell the other icon, but it's like tools, right? These tools indicate that this build workspace uses groups. And if you were to like switch to classic, which is what you would have done the builds on a month ago, right? They're just going to have this like little clipboard. And then the clipboard is not going to have the groups feature. It's going to have direct fill and autofill. And in this version, portfolio is not available. So you can 100% go back to past slates and back tests and run tests and things like that. But you cannot automatically go back to a past build a month ago and use the portfolio feature because portfolio works with groups specifically. Okay, next question. Hey, Andrew, do you have any tips or tricks for improving my sim average score in MLB? I already applied projection filter to my pool, usually trimming about 20%, and I bump the minimum salary fairly high, almost never going below 49,000. 10 plus game slates closer to 49.5 min salary. On large slates, I tend to exclude players at the bottom of the batting order, depending on the projected team runs. When I study the flashback, my sim ROI can vary significantly from contest to contest. I'm also trying to avoid contests where no one is hitting double-digit ROI. Overall, I usually land in the bottom third of the positive ROI group and rarely have a double-digit sim ROI myself. The one thing that seems consistently off is that my sim average score is significantly lower than others, and I haven't quite figured out how to improve that. I'm still extremely new to baseball in general, and I'm kind of trying to figure out whether I'm missing something fundamental or if I just don't know the sport well. Okay, very good question. So a couple things with this one, right? It is generally okay to have a little, like, not have the highest sim average score, right? I don't know where you're falling. For what I've noticed, right, is there usually kind of like a range. I call it like a band, right? It's like, hey, the top 10 to 15 sim ROIers are somewhere between 100 and 105, right? You don't need to have, you know, 105. You can have 100, right? But it's when you get into like the 98, the 97, then it's like, okay, you know, you're a little too low, right? So just like some notes there. Another thing is, you know, you don't always have to be like the highest sim ROIer either, right? Like when I was doing like build review shows regularly, when I do build review shows offline, you know, if you're within like the top, honestly, like the top 10 to 20 sim ROIers, I think that's like a really good place to be, you know, it's totally okay. So just some, you know, positive, like, hey, you know, you're not doing anything that bad type of things. If that's where you find yourself right now, getting back to the question of like, what can you do here? You know, one thing that maybe is happening, maybe I'm not 100% sure. It could relate to like your pitchers. I don't know how you're handling pitchers specifically, but pitchers are like some of the, I don't want to say like easiest, but playing, you know, the builder, right? From my experience, because pitchers tend to be like normally distributed with their range of outcomes, value tends to matter more with pitchers. And usually the builder does this. So I don't know exactly if like this is the case, but this is just something that comes to mind. Making sure, like, I would be okay with more leverage to high value pitchers than any other position for sure, right? Like I pull up Crochet. Okay. I look at his range of outcomes, nice bell shaped curve. His average projection is about 20. That is his most likely outcome here, 14% of the time. He also gets like closer to like 25%, like 14% of the time as well. So like his most likely outcomes are very, very close, if not kind of leaning a little bit more toward the right side, right? Like his 50th percentile over here is 20.7, which is even higher than his mean. You know, pitchers in general are just like much more likely to achieve their average projection, and playing some of the best projected pitchers, playing some of the best value pitchers is like a really good way of getting good sim average scores. So I'm not like 100% sure what you're doing, but like I can see a scenario where, you know, maybe you're getting 80% of like a high value pitcher and you're like, you know, he's 36% owned. You know, maybe I want to lower that, be like 1.5x the field, right? So then I drop him, I don't know, to like 55 or something like that, right? And maybe you end up in a situation where you're capping a lot of pitcher exposures, right? I would be much more open to having higher leverages on my pitchers than I would on my batters, like by far, right? Like if like the scenario arises and like I have like 80% of like a top value pitcher, you know, I might be okay with that, right? I might be willing to let that ride. I might look at like my pool exposure and try to get like an additional data point to kind of help out with that. But in my experience, you know, you can get higher sim average scores from letting SaberSim play some of like the like quote unquote like better pitchers on the slate. So that's something to consider. I don't know how you're handling that, but it's definitely a it's hard, right? Because like pitchers are so different from batters, but you know, you kind of like have like this like idea of like, okay, well, like it's baseball and like this is how I handle players in baseball. We really need to like kind of differentiate between the two. So outside of the other things you're doing, I think that's probably like a next good step is to like see how you're managing some of these like higher value pitchers on the slate and kind of take it from there. The other thing, right, is, you know, when you're in flashback and we'll just go back to like yesterday's main slate. And we're going to go to flashback. So let's say I'm looking at like the four seamer, right? Okay, let's say I'm in the four seamer, go over to users, say I maxed it out, sort by sim ROI. All right, so let's say, you know, I'm down here, right, closer to like 10%. Some of the highest sim ROIs are like 20 to 30%, right? You know, and maybe I'll find somebody with like a little bit lower sim average score. So there's one person here, right? Eggs Any Style. Positive 8% sim ROI, but 100 sim average score, right? And then when I scroll to the top, I see some of these guys, 108, 105, 107, 106. You know, take the time, right? And be like, okay, what are the different aspects and characteristics of, you know, if I'm Eggs Any Style, right? Okay, well, what stack types did I play? Okay.
I played 4-3, 5-2, 4-4, 5-3.
Okay. What teams did I stack, right? Okay. And how did I stack them based on projected runs, right? This is something else I'll kind of pay attention to. This looks like pretty flat. You know, this doesn't look that bad. Toronto, so, you know, kind of like a flat approach here. Not playing very many of these like lower projected run teams. So like I would note this, right? This is kind of a lot like to write down, but okay, you know, I like note my team stacks. And then I go to my pitchers. You know, I would start here. Okay, I go to highest exposed pitchers. Okay, who are my highest exposed pitchers, right? I would do this probably a couple different ways. I would look at highest value pitchers. Like, okay, how did I handle the top value pitchers and like write down my exposures? How did I handle the top owned pitchers? And these might cross over a little bit, but maybe there's like some small differences there. And then I don't know, maybe even like how did I handle the top projected pitchers too, right? So like looking at chopping this up a couple different ways. So like I could look at projection, I could look at value, I could look at ownership, might be some overlap. But anyways, you know, write those down. Maybe even write down like, hey, you know, what was my top batter exposure? Who were my top exposures, right? Okay, great. And then I take that information that I've written down about myself, and then I just go and I start comparing it to the best lineups. Okay, what did SimROI 1 do? What did SimROI 2 do? What did SimROI 3 do, right? Where are the big differences? And I think that should give you some insight into what other players who have the higher sim average score are doing versus what I'm doing, right? First thing that I noticed, like top sim ROIer with a sim average score, they jammed Burns, right? To like highest value by far in them in 95% of lineups. They also jammed Scooble and he didn't do very good. So like this probably hurt their like actual outcomes. But like this is like information, right? Very, very tight pitcher pool. Okay, if I'm Marnie here. A lot of Scooble and Burns, right? Like way more than I think Eggs Any Style got to. So like, and I would check all the other things too, right? But these are just ideas. These are things that you can look at and how you can kind of learn and improve. So that's what I would be trying to do. Trying to basically solve that problem. Okay. Next question from Ryan. Hey, Andrew. How does new portfolio sorting setting impact the higher dupe and lower player pool sports like NASCAR and MMA or showdowns for team sports? Thanks. Okay. So how do I explain this? So dupes, right, are still calculated in the contest sims. Right? Because our field lineups allow duplicates in them. And then from the duped lineups, right? When they win, if it's duped five times, if it's duped 10 times, however many times it's duplicated, it is splitting the first place ROI amongst all the other duped lineups, right? So that all of that goes to say that it impacts the overall ROI of each lineup. Now, what portfolio does, right, is, well, let's talk about what ROI does, right? If you just sort by ROI, you sort by uniques one. What happens is that we just take the top ROI lineups and we just list them straight down, right? Like boom, 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 boom. What portfolio does is it basically says, hey, ROI is this is how it's been explained to me. Like, ROI is the truth, right? We are basing everything on the principle that ROI is the best possible metric. Portfolio is not going to take the top listed ROI lineups in order, straight down. What it does is it takes a lineup, like it takes like your top sim ROI lineup, right? Your number one. And then it figures out, hey, what other lineups best complement this lineup in terms of giving you a diverse set of lineups that have good chances of winning, but don't like drastically impact your how do I say this? Portfolio is going to give you lineups that complement each other very well, not lineups that just hammer a certain angle that leads to like high ROI, right? That's why you see like very concentrated lineups with like very particular players, even when you sort by ROI alone, where portfolio is not doing that, right? So that impact is still happening even in the dupe sports, but the dupe portion is being accounted for in the contest sim, not specifically by portfolio. Portfolio is taking the results of the contest sim and figuring out which lineups work best together to give you the best set of lineups possible. All right. Eric said, my sim average score is sometimes 5 to 15 below some of the top guys. Guess I'm kind of discouraged. 75% loss 2 days in a row, obliterated. On the pictures, you are pretty spot on with how I've been handling them. I've had very flat leverages on them. Okay, cool. So this is junk talk. I'm glad my hunch was right. You know, that was just, you know, based on everything that you were saying, that felt like it might be something to look at. So I'm glad we're kind of on the right path there. I hope like showing you, you know, how to like kind of look at like other users and like kind of see the approach they were taking. I would just say, don't be afraid to be a little bit more aggressive with some of these top, you know, value pitchers, like in general. So that's kind of the big thing there. I mean, you know, I'm just like looking at this real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then 1, 2, 3, 4. It doesn't look that bad. Okay, I was just trying to see something about like how top projected pitchers, like how often they're hitting their actual versus like the batters. I just kind of wanted to do a quick take, but it looks like top projected batters actually did pretty decent yesterday. All right. Snowman said, do you always pay up for pitchers? Okay, cool. So back to the pitcher conversation here. Where were we? I think we were in a build. Oh, this is yesterday. Okay, let's go back to today. So I will say this. The term always should like never be used in DFS, in my opinion, right? I think there's always like exceptions to the rule. I think it's okay to like have heuristics. There are times where, you know, paying up for pitcher makes sense. There are times when, you know, fading top pitchers like also makes sense too, right? So all that to say, like, you should always kind of be open to like mixing it up, but in general, I think it is safer to pay up for pitchers than probably it is like to pay up for like batters, right? I think that's like very clear based on like range of outcomes. Like if we look at, you know, it looks like Ohtani's like the top salary batter on the slate. His most likely outcome 20% of the time is 0 points, right? But then, you know, we were talking about Crochet, like, okay, well, his, you know, most likely outcome just based on like percentage points was like his mean or even a little bit higher than his mean, right? It's like that tells you like, okay, well, paying up a pitcher is actually a little bit safer based on, you know, the shape of his curve. So it's not always about like paying up for pitcher two, right? Sometimes you want to, you know, like if we look at these top three pitchers today, right? The top three values all within like 74 to like 8,600, right? Crochet is like fourth here, right? I could see like a good lineup not having him and instead having, you know, two of these value guys. Like maybe you don't play, you know, Freed, Kirby, Mize, and you play Woodruff and Singer. You play, you know, BB, and you know, BB's like over like a two value, right? So like maybe you have a lineup with like BB and Rogers. You know, there's a number of different ways to kind of like chop this. But what I would probably be like trying to avoid is like some of the lowest value pitchers, right? Like, okay, you know, I probably don't want to play very much like Lorenzen or like Fetty or like Agasawara or like Baz. And the ownerships kind of reflect that opinion, right? Like, okay, Lorenzen has 0.6, Fetty has 1.19, Agasawara has 0.4, right? And then we start to like creep up a little more, but the values are creeping up too, right? Like we go from like 1.23 to 1.28 to 1.4 to 1.45 to 1.51, right? We're kind of jumping and the ownerships are kind of fluctuating like along the way, right? We're getting three, we're getting seven, we're getting five, we're getting three, we're getting one, we're getting two. And then it isn't until we get up to like 1.55 where we start to see like some double digit ownership, right? So I think that just kind of says that like value matters. Value is taken into account in the ownership projections, obviously here, because you know we've seen that sim average score slash projections still matter in flashback, right? So it's it'll all just depend. But I'd say don't be afraid to pay up. I don't always pay up. Sometimes I fade. I was very happy to fade Spencer Strider, like when he pitched like 2 days ago and he gives up a 3-run home run in the first and I'm like victory lapping my fade. And then all of a sudden he doesn't give up any more runs and ends up striking out 11 batters. That felt very, very bad, but you know, hey, that happens, right? I took a shot, looked like I was going to get there and I didn't. Right. But you know, sometimes I'm like, I love Strider. Sometimes I don't play him. Right. It's all over the place. Sometimes I'm in on Crochet. Sometimes I'm out on him. Right. So just all slate context definitely matters. And, you know, so don't be afraid to do one or the other. All right. We are caught up with questions here. So why don't we do a slate demo? I wanted to do one. I usually try and do them for MMA on Saturdays here. So we talked a lot of MLB. Should get people answers to that question leading up to the main slate here, but we do have MMA later this afternoon. So why don't we build some lineups for this? We were talking about Dupe Sports a little bit, right? So good opportunity to use this. Okay, so I'm going to jump into my build and I'm going to use just portfolio here, not portfolio plus. All right, so 500 lineups. I like to lower min salary a little bit, 45K. I'm going to make two small adjustments to projections. The don't use opposing fighters rule is on. Looks like there were no canceled fights, and there were 12 fights on the slate. So 24 fighters, nice slate here. Settings are on 210, but it doesn't matter the correlations, and so don't use opposing fighters is on. Cool. So I'm going to kick this off. Good opportunity to click this green button over here on the left and upload your entry file if you have one while that build is running. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to use the My Lineups group here. We will build this, however, as if we are building 20 lineups. And I will switch this to Portfolio. Cool. So me personally, I don't like compact mode. I like to see my lineups kind of in the standard version here. I do have a couple aggregate metrics. and I'll just make sure those are visible. So that's good. I might actually add one for average salary. Did not add it. Save. Weird. Okay. So you guys see weird stuff? Best thing is to let us know. Tried adding average salary metric to my lineups group and is listed in the table, but not populating. Now scroll bar disappeared. Cool. Stuff like that helps us to get these things resolved, but we'll just roll with what we got for now. So, since it is a dupe-heavy sport, I think it's still okay to apply filters. I apply the filters generally on my pool level. So, like, what I would do here is, like, okay, maybe I want to cut off, like, some high, some ownership lineups, okay? Well, then I will just turn this on for the pool. And then here, right, that got rid of about, like, 40 lineups. Okay, I might just go, like, a tad bit higher or lower, technically, like 213. And that gets rid of about, like, 50 lineups. Sorry. So that's perfect, right? We're cutting off, like, the highest, like, 10% some owned lineups. That feels good. Okay. Now I would probably get into, like, lineup analysis and just, like, oh, so it did load. It took a while, but it loaded. I don't know why. Okay. So that's all good there. Now I would come over to my table, and then I would start analyzing this, right? Okay. Well, what kind of decisions do I want to make? You know, I actually don't know that much about UFC kind of range of outcomes. It's kind of crazy looking at this, right? Bunch of, like, I'm assuming they basically lose all of these fights, right? And most of them. They might win with, like, a 90. But then, you know, 42% of the time they're getting between, like, 100 and, like, 110, and then, like, some other outcomes. So very interesting here. Based on, like, what I'm seeing exposure-wise, it does look like value kind of is, like, a good indicator here, right? So, like, Teixeira is, like, the highest value by far, and then they are our top exposed and top leverage. Seems like there's, like, a little bit of a tie here between Chitty and Garcia, and we're getting, you know, similar exposure to both of them. Not exactly similar leverage, but not too far off either. So, like, all these decisions seem fine, right? I'm basically trying to analyze this and look at, like, my biggest stands on the slate and see if I agree with them, right? And then I would also look at, like, inverse leverage too. Notice, like, low value fighter, lower leverage. All of these fighters here have, like, anywhere from 3.76 to 8.76 range, and we're kind of zoning in on the fighters that we want a little bit higher. Thompson's kind of interesting, right? Like, taking that angle where it's like, okay, we're interestingly getting a lot of exposure to Thompson, who's like a 7.35, and then notice their pool's like 25 and we're at like 35. Feels like maybe we're using them as, like, a pay down option, you know? Like, some of these other value fighters, the 8,900, 9,100, 9,900, right? So it's like, okay. So when you look at it that way, right, when you compare salary to value, okay, they actually, the value here makes a little bit more sense because we're not spending so much salary on them. So there seems like a fighter we're more taking a shot on here. So I don't mind that, right? Seems okay when I look at this. If even if we just sort by projection, they are the highest projected fighter under 7K as well, right? So then it starts to, like, make a little bit of sense, and I'll scroll up here, right? Highest projected fighter under a 7K salary. So these are, like, always what else I think is good here is that Austin Lane 6,600 is, like, a little bit lower exposed than Thompson, and Thompson has a little bit higher value than Lane. So, like, it's the order here is good, right? So we're just checking this. We're does it make sense, right? Like, that is probably the the number one thing. Like, I tell myself all the time, okay, like, okay, when I'm looking at my exposures, when my at my portfolios, I'm like, okay, does this look bad? Is there something standing out here that doesn't look right? It doesn't make sense. That is the number one question I ask myself, like, every single time. I don't have a ton of opinions. I'm like, oh no, I want to get to this guy. Oh no, I need to play this person or that or this or the other. I'm more trying to, you know, make adjustments on like the macro level, like ownership of you know, my pool. You know, if I have any projection adjustments I want to make or like anything like that, right? More like filters, right? Like projection filter, salary, things like that. I then kind of look at this and like, okay, does anything look like really bad? And if it doesn't, then I kind of trust SaberSim and kind of roll with it, right? It's like, that's more of the approach that like I take on like a day-to-day basis. So then I'm just sitting here doing a lot of QA, asking myself questions and making sure that everything kind of fits. So from here, I'd be happy with these lineups. I'd be ready to upload them and save them to my contest, but that's how I'd be building some MMA lineups for today. All right, Luke said, what is the generic contest sim that runs if you don't upload any entries? Like what field size and what field lineups is it using? Okay, good question. I believe it is the size, the size of the contest is however many field lineups there are, right? Like if there are 10,000 field lineups, we are running a 10,000-man contest. If there are 20,000 field lineups, we are running a 20,000-man contest, right? That's effectively like how it works, even if your contest is bigger. It's like, say you're playing a 50,000 entry, right? But the field lineups only have 20,000. We apply the payout structure of the 50,000 contest to the 20,000 lineups. So I think it's just matching one for one. And then it's just using a very basic payout structure, which is typically like 25% to first, 20% of entries paid. It is something like that. You know, it might be 23% entries paid. It might be 22, but I believe it's like a 25-20. If you go to the contest tab and then you click create custom contest, that's effectively like what you see here. This is like this custom payout structure that loads by default. This is like what is being applied. It's however many field lineups, percent to first, percent entries paid. That is like our like standard behind the scenes like custom structure that like we use. All right, let me check in Discord one more time here, and looks like we're all set. Caught up with questions in the chats and office hours channel. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back Monday 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care, good luck, thanks, bye.